Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to minister the Word of God for you today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised and exalted through the message preached, and may He, by His Spirit of grace, grant ears to hear to each one He came to save and ransom by His shed blood on the cross. I'm speaking to you today from John chapter 17, and my text is from verse 16 down to the end of the chapter, and I want to speak with you about Christ's sanctifying work. How is it that sinners are sanctified before God by the Lord Jesus Christ? Now here in John chapter 17 and verse 16, we read the conclusion of the first part of this prayer where our Lord said that He did not pray that the Father should take His redeemed ones out of the world. That's in verse 15. But that the Father should keep them from the evil. So this is truly what being sanctified in Christ Jesus is. It doesn't mean that we can be any holier than we are already by His work of redemption accomplished at Calvary. When He died on the cross, we were set apart unto God. The sin debt was paid, and God once for all declared those for whom Christ died as being justified and sanctified unto Him. And so this sanctifying work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only that which saves the sinner for whom Christ died, but also keeps the sinner. We don't keep ourselves, but we're kept in by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore our Lord says of them in verse 16 that they are not of the world. Now it's evident that we live in the world if we're God's children, and yet we're not of the world. In other words, the world no longer dictates our steps and who we are and our direction, but it is the Spirit of God that so leads us. And He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, it was for one purpose, and that is to save a people unto God that His Father had given Him from all eternity. And He accomplished that work and then ascended back into glory. But when He ascended, He took with Him all of those sinners for whom He came to pay the debt from the beginning of time all the way to the end. I know some have not yet been born, and some that have been born for whom Christ died have lived and died already. And some of us, by His grace, continue to live awaiting that day when our very soul shall be ushered into His presence. But as far as our position is concerned, when He rose from the grave, those for whom He paid the debt rose with Him. When He ascended on high, they sat down with Him in the heavenlies. And that's why Paul was able to write to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 6, it says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So positionally, where Christ is, so are we. And it is to that that He prays here, they are not of the world. In other words, those for whom He has died cannot be condemned with this world, even though we continue to live in this world, even as He says, I am not of the world. Christ came and suffered. It was for a time. He was the sin bearer, and He bore the contradiction of sinners against Himself, but no more. The world can no more lay their hand upon Him because He's risen, ascended, and seated the right hand of the Majesty on high, where He ever lives to intercede on behalf of those for whom He died. So His prayer here is for those who continue in the world that He has redeemed, that they might be sanctified. Verse 17 of John 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So our sanctification is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot add to it or take from it. That is clear from other portions of Scripture. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 30 and 31, we have the complete perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ described here. And so any for whom Christ has paid the debt, they are complete in him. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And then listen, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So where God does the saving through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's complete. He has been made to us wisdom. None could know God apart from that wisdom that is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is how God can be just and declare sinners justified. And righteousness, we don't have any inherent righteousness, but that righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ came and earned and worked out and established, and upon completion of his work at the cross, God imputed once for all to the account of that people that the Father gave him. But then it says, and sanctification. In other words, set apart, sealed forever unto that righteousness and that holiness of God. And then redemption. It's true, we were redeemed at the cross if Christ paid our debt, but we await that final redemption of these bodies when at the resurrection, mortality is going to take on immortality, corruption, incorruption, and we shall be changed. Oh, the redemption of the body that awaits those that Christ has purchased. And all the glory goes to God, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's no room for boasting in any one of us. So that sanctification, that redemption, that salvation is perfect and complete in Christ. And yet we have need to continue to be kept, because this is an evil world. But more importantly, we continue to live in a fallen flesh. This flesh does not change. It was born in sin, and it continues in sin and will die in sin. There are some that consider sanctification to mean that as they grow in their walk before the Lord, that somehow their flesh begins to sin less and less. You won't find that anywhere taught in Scripture. That's a delusion. The fact that we continue to be sinners. Even the Apostle Paul wrote of this in Romans chapter 7, that in him, he said, that is in this flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And therefore, we don't put any confidence in this flesh. We know that, as he says in Romans 7:18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So this is an ongoing reality in the heart of those that are God's children. But the truth is, even as Christ prayed here, sanctify them through thy truth. In other words, continue to sanctify them. He prays to his Father through the truth, that is, as it is in Christ Jesus. All truth is summed up in him. He is the truth. And so, as we live in this world, the Spirit causes our eyes to be set upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And this particular sanctifying work, the continual setting apart of our minds and thoughts to the Lord Jesus Christ, is done by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. That's what he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When we read the word of God, sometimes people ask me, say, well, what part of this word pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer is all of it. From beginning to end, as we read the scriptures, we are to see only the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know a lot of people take this Bible and they open it and they try to find some personal application for themselves, and they become the focus of this word. But dear friend, we are not the focus of this word. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is by this word that declares the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work that the Spirit of God continues to sanctify or set apart those that Christ has redeemed. An example is over here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, where Peter writes, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. This is talking about how we deal with one another in the body of Christ, that we're not to treat one another as the world treats one another, because we've been set apart together by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ unto God, and redeemed and declared righteous and called out as one people. And therefore, there's no place for guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings like we see going on in all kinds of religious organizations. No, where there's that true family of God, where sinners have been united in Christ by his Spirit because of his saving work at the cross, then we deal with one another in a different way. In fact, he says here in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Think of a newborn baby that is in constant need of being fed. And if it doesn't get fed, it cries and desires that milk. And as the days and weeks and months go by, you notice that growth, that nature of that child doesn't change. It's always a baby and a being, but it grows as it's nurtured by the milk. And so it is with those of us who are in Christ Jesus. As by God's grace, the Spirit opens up our hearts to this word that I'm reading for you and preaching from and teaches us of Christ, we desire more of that. Just like a baby, all of its attention is on getting fed. It's not worried about other babies in the room. It's not worried about what other people are in the room. It wants and needs to be fed. That's the desire that the Spirit of God gives to those who are born again as newborn babes, that we're born from above. And that's the work of the Spirit, to draw such continually to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is what Christ here addresses to his Father, that those that he has redeemed should be continually sanctified by the Father through the truth of who Christ is, and that they grow in that word. That's the regenerating work of the Spirit, to take sinners for whom Christ has paid the debt and to set them apart, sanctify them. That's what that word means, set them apart unto Christ forever. So he prays there in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We can't escape this world until such time as God is pleased to take us from it in death. But he prays here that as even Christ was sent into the world. And why was Christ sent into the world? It was to accomplish the full redemption of his people and to fulfill law and justice on their behalf, and to fulfill all that the scriptures proclaimed concerning him. Not one thing was left undone that the scriptures said should be accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was sent into this world. We see that in Isaiah chapter 61. And this is important because Christ didn't just come on his own. there is that perfect harmony between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And Christ, in coming to this world, came to accomplish the will of his Father, being anointed by the Spirit. In fact, that's what the term Christ means. It's the anointed one. That's what the word Messiah means, the anointed one. And so in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me." And why was he anointed? It says here, "To preach good tidings unto the meek, those that God humbles by his grace. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." That's what the Spirit of God does when he brings home the word of Christ to the heart of a sinner. He breaks that sinner's heart. It's like an arrow that's shot into the heart that kills self. We die to self, but we live to Christ. And he says, "Proclaim liberty to the captives." That word liberty means to be set free. How can sinners be set free from the sin and condemnation that comes from disobeying the law? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, in coming into the world, not only worked out a perfect righteousness in his life, but he paid the full penalty that the law required in order for God to be just and declare righteous that people for whom he died. And it says, "The opening of the prison to them that are bound." That's why the scriptures say, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." That's the good news that Christ came to proclaim throughout the world through his finished work. And in verse 2 of Isaiah 61, that's the word that's used, to proclaim. Preaching the gospel is a proclamation, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This refers back to the Old Testament, when every 7 years there was a giving back of ownership to the people that had lost it because of debt. The year of Jubilee is what the scriptures describe, and it was the acceptable year of the Lord. That's how salvation is described for those for whom Christ paid the debt. The day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. God poured out his wrath upon his Son. Instead of pouring it out upon his people, Christ bore that wrath, and therefore it is a comfort to all that mourn. We mourn by God's grace over our sin and over who we are and our sin nature. All that we are is wretched sinners before God. When the Spirit shows us who we are, we mourn. But that mourning is not just remorse, it's repentance unto God, even faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our eyes are turned. And so, in John 17, when Christ says that even as the Father has sent him into the world, so have I also sent them into the world, the disciples went forth preaching this good news. And all who are God's children today, that he has revealed Christ in their hearts, they go forth and they proclaim and declare the same truth. That's throughout the world. There's a oneness in how the Spirit reveals Christ in the heart, regardless of the tribe, nation, or tongue. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed this message, so those of us that are his, set apart and sanctified in him, this is the message that we have to declare to the world. And Isaiah 61:3 continues, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion." Zion is a picture of the church. And so those who are brought to Christ in repentance, to give unto them beauty for ashes. If I look upon my sinfulness in the light of the Spirit of God and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and consider what it took to pay my sin debt, oh, what a mourning. I see nothing but ashes. But here, to appoint them beauty for ashes, to see, because of the work of Christ, that perfect righteousness in which now I stand as a sinner saved by his blood and justified by his righteousness once for all. Oh, what a joy. And here it describes it as the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That garment is none other than the righteousness of God that Christ worked out, that is now put to the account once for all. It's not put to our account when we believe. It was put to our account when Christ died, if he died for us. And oh, the joy of seeing it. It becomes a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Initially, when God begins that work of grace in the heart, oh, it is a heavy work because he opens our eyes to our sinfulness. We have to see and hear of the bad news first before we see and hear the good news. But the good news is, if the Spirit of God is showing a sinner redeemed by Christ their sin, it's for this reason, to grant that garment of praise, that they might be called, it says in Isaiah 61:3, trees of righteousness. That is, of God's righteousness. What is a tree but planted by a seed sown? That seed sown is Christ, and it's his blood and righteousness, and from it grows these trees of righteousness. That's the people of God, the planting of the Lord. Notice that he might be glorified. And so this is part of Christ's sanctifying work as well. Not only what he accomplished at the cross, and not only how he keeps those that he has redeemed once he's called them to himself, but as they go out in the world, they manifest being set apart to Christ by their very testimony. It's the same gospel. It's the same proclamation as what our Lord Jesus Christ himself made as he came in the world, that sinners should look to him and to him alone for their salvation. So that's what I declare unto you. And that's what I declare by God's grace every time I preach, that our eyes might be on Christ alone. And I will tell you this, if Christ has paid your debt, you might be blind right now, but in his time, he will open your eyes and cause the light of Christ to shine in your heart. There's not one that Christ can lose for whom he has paid the debt, and that he will raise again in the last day. And so, coming back to my text, John 17 and verse 19, it is for these that he prays. He says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now here is an important point then on what it is to be sanctified by Christ. This is not to be understood to mean that Christ, by sanctifying himself, made himself more holy. That couldn't be. He didn't have any sin. But what he's saying is, I set myself apart in this sacrifice of myself for sin, a sacrifice well-pleasing and acceptable to God the Father, that by it, even as we saw a little while ago in 1 Corinthians 1:30, that by Christ's life and death, he says, my people might be also sanctified or set apart unto God the Father. And that's really what Paul is writing of in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. He blesses God the Father. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's the sanctifying work of Christ according to the will of the Father, determined from eternity and revealed by the Spirit. And so, as this message draws to a conclusion, I want us to consider that in this work of sanctification, there is the Father who has sanctified sinners or people in his divine election See, when he chose out sinners before the foundation of the world, it was unto salvation. They were sanctified from before the foundation of the world. And that's the work of the Father to do. We're going to see in sanctification here briefly that it's the work of the Father, it's the work of the Son, it's the work of the Spirit. In Jude chapter 1, we read, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. The way that's written, the tense is, we're sanctified and continue to be sanctified. So if we're the Lord's, we can say that from eternity we were set apart, even as I read for you here in Ephesians chapter 1, unto holiness, to be declared righteous and holy by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't make us holy, but it declares us to be holy. It sets us apart as holy. We're still sinners by nature, but what God purposed, he accomplished through his Son. And so it's important to see then not only the work of the Father, but the work of the Son in sanctifying. And there we find it clearly set forth in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. This is a great portion of Scripture if the Lord will give us understanding concerning the sanctifying work of the Son. It says, by the which will, so there it is again, the will of God the Father, we are sanctified, listen, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is not something that we endeavor to perfect in ourselves. No, the perfection is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his death, it says, we are sanctified. If Christ paid our debt, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then in verses 12 down to verse 14, it says, this man, after he had once offered himself a sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. In other words, those for whom he died, though they're enemies as they're born in this world, yet he brings them to bow, every one of them. In verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In other words, in Christ is our perfection. Don't look within yourself. If you're the Lord's, that's the Spirit of God causes you to look to Christ alone. But also we know that it is the Spirit's work to sanctify, that is to set apart those sinners for whom Christ died in regeneration. So sanctified of the Father in election, sanctified by the Son in redemption, and sanctified by the Spirit in regeneration. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read this, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. There it is, that electing grace, beloved of the Lord in Christ. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, but listen, through sanctification of the Spirit. How is it that we know that we were chosen? How is it we can know that we were redeemed? Well, the Spirit never leaves any of the elect redeemed sinners in darkness. He brings life to them and gives them life and light and salvation in Christ. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit. And it says, and belief of the truth. That doesn't mean and in addition, but that word and is translated even belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. It's not just believing anything, but it's believing the truth that God has set forth here in his word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and to see that all of our salvation is in him from beginning to end. Is that the faith that God has given you? To look to Christ alone and trust him alone. If so, there's hope that the Father has sanctified you from eternity, and you were sanctified in Christ when he paid the sin debt, and sanctified by the Spirit, being brought to him now in faith. What a blessed hope he is.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.